have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Well, here we are again for another podcast. I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to the Jadasa Live podcast. I am Cynthia R. Bennett, your host. Here on the Jadasa Live podcast, we talk about issues, stories, resources, events, and ways to eradicate abuse of all kinds in the community, and this is done through education, edification, and encouragement. I want to talk about domestic violence on college campuses. But before we talk about that, I want to share about and remind you of our upcoming event, our upcoming community event. We're giving back to the community, and that is this Saturday, July the 24th. It's called our annual Dignity. It is our annual Dignity Drive. We have it every July every year, where we collect resources, we collect toiletries, and we give back to the community. This Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is only for 3 hours. That is the hottest part of the day. We're not going to be out there long, but we're going to be out there 3 hours so you can come and get some free toiletries. The toiletries we have are shower shoes, shower gels, bath gels, hand towels, deodorant, toothbrush, toothpaste. We have diapers. We have towels. We have sanitary items for women. These items are free for you to come and pick up and get. If you know a family who needs it, come and pick it up for them. If they don't have the transportation to get it, be a good Samaritan. Come and get these items for them and present it to them. We're asking you to come. We're also having an organization that's going to be out there. They are going to be grilling hot dogs and providing drinks. All of this is free to the community. This is free to the community. We're asking you to come out and be a part of this. We're also going to have the Hood Talks pod. It's going to be a live podcast that's going to be out there talking with us about what we're doing for the community. This is about you. Jadasa is a community organization, and we want you to be out there this Saturday at the Dignity Drive, July the 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is going to be at 1433 Steiny Road, which is off of West Florissant, across the street from the Delwood Rec Center. You can go to our webpage at www.jadasa.org, or either you can go to our social media page and you can see the flyer out there. But please come out and get some of these free items that we have for the community and give some to some people. If you know, share. If somebody you know that need it, share the flyer with them. If they need it and they can't get it, you come and pick it up for them. And so we're hoping to see you guys Saturday, that we can communicate and talk with you and share with you about what Jadasa is doing in the community and what we can do to help you. Now, to go back to the subject I want to talk about today, domestic violence on college campuses. This is something that has been going on, and but, you know, there are some colleges that are supporting students or helping them leave abusive relationships. And so we had this young lady who was a student on a school campus. She was hospitalized because her husband, she was a married student, her husband had hit her, and somehow she fell or something, but he ended up hitting her with the truck, or they were fighting or something, and she was trying to get her bag out. When she was getting out the truck, she was trying to get her bag out. Well, he ended up hitting her, ran off her foot, drug her 20 feet. So she had a broken toe, and she had skin torn from her legs. And so while she was in the hospital recuperating, there was the policeman that was coming there to investigate. I asked her, did she want to file a restraining order, you know, against her husband? And so, however, she did recover from her injuries, and she did leave her husband. But this student says that on this campus there is a lack of protection and allowances from colleges for students that's experiencing domestic violence. And because of that, her ex was able to take something even more lasting from her because the abuse kept going on and there was no protection. With what he took from her was her ability to graduate, because I believe in this particular story, this young lady was only 3 months away from graduating before this event happened. So according to the information that's compiled by the National Domestic Violence Hotline, it said that nearly half of college women in intimate relationships report experiencing violent and abusive behaviors from their partners. In fact, college and high school age women, it talks about girls, are almost three times more likely than any other groups and genders to experience violence at the hands of a current or a former partner. And that violence includes physical, sexual, and psychological abuse, which means psychological stalking and harassing. And it says, but anyone can be a victim of a relationship, and that's including men and those especially from the LGBTQ community. They experience abuse as well, because it says 1 in 4 women and about 1 in 10 men have experienced some sexual or physical violence or some type of stalking or harassment by an intimate partner during their lifetime. And they say most of them experience it before they even hit the age of 25, you know. So and at that age, 25, you know, that's majority of people are either getting ready to leave college or going to grad school or something. They say, but yet even when they report these violence, these students, to authorities or school officials, many students who are victims of the violence don't get the support or resources they need to continue their education. Now, one thing I do know, because I have talked one-on-one with a law enforcement officer here in the St. Louis metropolitan and St. Louis area, and they work with organizations, and they were actually in the sex crime division in the Metropolitan Police Department. And the reason why a lot of times these cases or these incidents go unreported is because meaning the colleges, they don't want that on their record. They have to report that because they are a Title IV school or something like that, where they get federal funding for their schools, so they have to report these incidents. Well, they don't want somebody that's going on their website looking to see if they want to attend this particular college, and then they come up and read that these type of incidents has happened on their college. They don't want to deter students from coming, so they don't report this stuff, and they don't really investigate this stuff. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. This young lady was talking about, because she did not have this support, she did not continue her education at this time. So there was a particular attorney that says that their office regularly hears from students of color and from those in community colleges who complain that schools didn't take their cases seriously or they didn't get adequate support when they did report these type of cases. So when they don't, this results in a poor response that harms the victims even further. It pushes them out of school. It actively silenced them. And, you know, we're always talking about giving a voice to the voiceless. And then it ultimately denies them the right to have equal access to education, because they don't want to have to deal with all of this trauma and then they still have to go to school. And so, no, there was federal laws that require schools and universities that, as I said before, that received government funding, prevents gender-based violence and harassment and address the needs of survivors so they can continue their educations. So survivors have the right, if you are a survivor and you're a student, you happen to be a student, you're living on a college campus, or it happens on a college campus, you have a right to file complaints with the school against your abuser and receive counseling and tutoring and get special accommodations so that you can complete your schoolwork, because I'm pretty sure, you know, it's traumatic. I know it's traumatic. And then you have to deal with all of that, and it may disrupt your schoolwork. And so so that was one of the issues had. And it says that students that reported it these issues to universities and stuff, they, you know, every university, quote unquote, university or school have a I believe they do have a victims advocate center. Every university, but this particular student says she didn't receive a lot of help from them. She said, though, she was given extra time to complete work for her classes during this event, but when she couldn't finish the semester's work, you know, she was told she had to pay money because, you know, if you don't finish the class, you either get an F or you withdraw from it because you can't finish it or whatever. You know, you still got to pay these loans back. And so because she didn't get these protection that she needed for her husband on campus, you know, it caused a lot of traumatic experiences and feelings about this, behind this. And so we know there's staff and faculty members can report abuse to the university because, again, and I said Title IV, Title IX schools because they receive this money. And they are urged to call 911 and go to the university public safety or the police or something, or go to some kind of victim advocate center that's supposed to be on there. And because it's supposed to be a center that encourages students to report these incidents and, you know, to maintain a safe and supportive and responsive environment for these survivors who are dealing with this trauma. But, you know, we can't really deal with names and stuff, so they're supposed to have these things. It says relationship violence, it threatens not only students' physical safety, not only threatens that, and your emotional well-being because, you know, you've gone through something that was traumatic, you know, somebody trying to force themselves on you or harassing them, but it also affects their academic prospects, you know, because when you're experiencing this type of abuse and this type of this crime against your body, you experience these type of abuse, you know, you could be so distraught and distracted that you could struggle to complete assignments. You don't have time to keep your mind on, you know, books and, you know, trying to figure out the laws of physics and the, you know, Pythagorean theorem and trying to listen to Socrates. You don't have time to try to focus on all of that and figure out anatomy and physiology or whatever subject that you're going through that you have to really actually focus and gear your mind to. You can't do that when you're distraught and distracted because of some traumatic event that happened while you was in school. You should supposed to be in a safe environment. And because you're not and you're distracted, you know, you struggle with it. You know, you can't sit through exams and attend classes and stuff. You know, it's just hard to focus on that when you are most likely walking around the campus, living in fear, walking in fear, you know, reliving that event. You know, some people say they have, you know, some ladies and some victims say they have, you know, decided to delay their studies, and some of them have even dropped out. Of school, and then, you know, that upended their career dreams and their chances for economic success because now you dropped out, you got these bills, because if you drop out of school and you got a student loan, that student loan is coming to play. You know, they're going to come and collect that after 6 months, after you drop out, 6 months. And so now this is a financial hardship or consequences that they have to deal with because of sinking grades or because they drop classes and because of all those things. And if they have scholarships or financial aids and stuff, that affects all of that. And so, you know, some students and survivors have told me that they have had very difficult time even being on campus, concentrating, because they fear that they would see or run into the person that caused them the harm or did the violence. And these things, these situations, because they was fearing that they would run into this particular person or persons, you know, it created obstacles and barriers for them, because they was always constantly wondering and worrying, you know, is this going to be happen? Is this going to happen to me again, or am I going to be re-traumatized? Because, you know, when I went forth to the Crime Victims Advocate Center, quote unquote, or whoever, the safety police or whatever, they didn't do as what much as I thought they would do, or I didn't feel safe after I reported it. You know, it's just a lot of stuff, that's going on these college campuses. So we have to make sure, and that's what Jadis is trying to do, is communicate and connect with even some of the college campuses here, because St. Louis is a college town, you know, and we have a lot of colleges in just the city, the St. Louis metropolitan area. And so we are looking and hoping to connect with some of those organizations to provide resources, because a lot of times these survivors, they may not want to talk to the people on campus, because they don't want that stuff to get out. Well, we want to create a partnership with these organizations where they can come to us off campus, you know, whether it be via Zoom or on in office or whatever, but just be that added support and added safety measure and added comfort for them who have experienced something like this on campus. Because, you know, remember, if you're on campus, you're away from mom and daddy, you're away from your family, you're learning new friends, you know, you don't know who your friends are away at the time. So we just want to provide those resources to these organizations. Now, we know that there's been recent changes to federal guidelines under the Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, which was under the Trump administration. They have clarified that dating violence, domestic violence, and stalking are a form of sexual misconduct under the Title IX, which is a law that prohibits sex discrimination in programs that receive federal funding. And because most colleges, universities, public universities, state universities receive federal funding under that, and they're considered Title IX schools, they have clarified this. But however, the new rules also reduces the obligation of colleges to investigate complaints and require trial-like investigation proceedings in which victims are cross-examined. So advocates for survivors, advocates such as myself for survivors, fear this will further deter victims from seeking help. Because if they feel like that the new rules is reducing the obligations of colleges to help investigate complaints, they're not going to keep themselves open and vulnerable. Then if it happens to them, they may keep their mouths shut and not say anything because they're feeling like they're not going to get this due process, or the person may continue to walk around the campus, or nothing may happen to them. And so it's just something that we need to deal with. Somebody, and I know this one person, state an advocate, saying the Department of Education has made it clear that its primary goal is to save money, not to help students. Now, I know that's one activist made this statement. I'm not going to just blanket that and say that, but I will say that because of this new rule that has been put in place, and it's reducing the obligation of colleges to investigate, you know, complaints that victims may come forward, I do know that it will deter them from even coming forward or sharing that they have had some type of traumatic experience that happened to them on the campus because of that. Now, I'm not going to say it's just a blanket statement that they don't care about the students, it's just money. I'm not going to put that out there. But I do know that it is going to cause, make it harder for victims to come forth and report these incidents that is occurring. I'm not going to say that may, that is, because I know it's occurring, that is occurring on these college campuses. And so going on now, but there are colleges and, you know, many community colleges and smaller universities, people feel like they don't have enough to help victims of violence, some activists say, but there are larger universities that have improved support for survivors in recent years. You know, they provide emotional support to students. They walk them through legal reporting procedures. They are linking them to medical and other resources to help them secure academic accommodations. It may change, you know, may help them if they're struggling. They may go on to Zoom classes, or they may require extra time to complete their work, you know, and sometimes they may allow them to switch classes versus, you know, dropping or retaking classes. So they are trying to help students to avoid these economic costs or these economic bills or debt that can occur or incur if they leave because of some trauma. So a sexual assault survivor who speaks, there is this one particular survivor who speaks regularly at, you know, high schools and colleges about violence prevention. They agree that many campuses must do more, and they must. They need to do more. They need to do more because, you know, we send our kids off to college. We paying you our money. We getting these loans for our kids and stuff. We want to know that they're safe. We want to know that they come to school to get a education, and we want to know that they are safe, and should something, God forbid, happen to them like this, that they have resources that they can reach out to versus being re-traumatized again behind the traumatic experience, only to be re-traumatized again to know that nobody is going to help you. Now you got to deal with the trauma of the event that happened to you. You got to deal with the violation. You got to deal with the isolation. You got to deal with the loneliness. You got to deal with the rejection. You got to, all this stuff is just compiled on top of each other. And how can somebody focus and study, but you got their money? Their parents have sent them to your school to educate their kids, but now all this stuff is compiled on top of them. How can they focus? How can they deal with that? You know, there's this one particular lady, this one student, she said, I remember this one victim said she was drugged and raped as a high school student in the 90s. And when she said that, it took me back to my book, the book I wrote, A Healing of Your Memories. You can also, I'm putting a plug into it. You can go out on Amazon.com and put in A Healing of Your Memories, Cynthia Bennett. You will see the book come up. You get that book. I'm telling you, it is every traumatic experience that I've dealt with my clients over the 20 years, the triggers, what they dealt with, and what it is, they are cliffhangers to help you understand your triggers. It is every traumatic, it's mostly traumatic experiences. It's a rape in school. It's neglect. It's molestation and incest. It's abandonment, divorce, death of a child. These are traumatic experiences that people deal with, and when it's not, or people have experience, and when it's not dealt with, what are some of these triggers that's happening in your adult life because it wasn't dealt with? This book will help you. And so when she shared that she had been drugged and raped in high school, it took me back to that particular story that I had in that book. And she said because of the trauma, it devastated her self-esteem and derailed her ambitions to go to college and law school. She didn't even want to finish. And so she said because she dealt with that and she was devastated because of what happened to her, she received almost no support from her school. And she said that, you know, she's still dealing with some of this stuff today. Now, this happened in 1990, so that means this was 30 years ago. So this lady is possibly, if she was in high school, so she's possibly in her late 40s or 50s. She's still dealing with this today. Saying grade school and university and these college campuses and educators and all these, they need to be more attending to or attuned to behavior changes in students that they can signal if they've been victimized or traumatized. You know, if a person that's an A student and they're when they're in a school, they are always speaking out, they're active, they participate, and all of a sudden they come to school, their grades are dropping, they're not talking, they're withdrawn. You better know something traumatic has happened. Now, I'm not saying it may necessarily be a sexual violation. It could be a death in the family. What I'm saying is a traumatic event that has happened that has altered them. And so we need students and we need colleges and schools to be more attuned when they have these behavior changes. People just don't change just because for nothing. Something happened. And officials should make sure that every campus has a safe space. A safe space and a trusted adult where students can go. You need to find that person. Every campus should have a safe space and a trusted adult. An adult. You don't need somebody that's a Debbie Downer, or you don't need somebody that's a Chatty Cathy. As soon as you share something with them, they run and tell. No, you need to hold their feet to the fire, make them sign a confidentiality agreement that if something is leaked out of that office because of them, they can suffer some repercussions. Because these are people's lives at stake. When they share something to you, that can make a person withdraw. That can make a person suicidal. We need to do something better. We need to do something better and deal with this stuff. Because all students should be required to take classes about healthy relationships to prevent interpartner violence. It may not, you know, as a preventive measure. They need to know the red flags. They need to know the difference between healthy relationship versus unhealthy relationship. They need to know these things, and then they need to know the difference by interpartner violence, you know, because sometimes they get it mixed up whether it's a gray area versus somebody that sexually violated you that you don't know, or somebody that you deal with like date rape. It's still the same, because if you said no and they forced themselves on you, whether you know them or not, it's still a crime. It's still a crime. So in my experience of talking to so many youth and young people over the last 20 years of in this, this is what I keep hearing. Why didn't I have these classes? Why didn't I know about this? You know, I thought the school was supposed to be safe. And when they're talking about these classes, why don't we have classes about healthy versus unhealthy relationships, looking for the red signs or the red flags, you know, how to report, you know, effective reporting procedures. Why don't we have these things out there? So, you know, they're saying that now. They're still saying it. And we need to do more. But it's going to take a village. It's going to take a village. We can't do it all, but we can start the conversation. So we must get the word out, because reports show that many students dealing with dating and domestic violence don't realize help is available. They don't, because they feel like the schools may not share or may not be able to help them. Well, we need to be a resource, and that's where Jonathan is coming in, to reach out to our college campuses, that we are a resource. We are here. If they don't want to come to you, that's fine. They can come to us. We're off-site. We're independent. 501c3 community-based organization. We can deal with them. We have trauma care therapy that we offer, even free therapy sessions. We have so many therapy sessions that they're free to them. So it's about getting the word out, and that's what we're doing. And I hope those that's listening to this Blog Talk Radio on whatever platform you're listening to, share this information. Go to our webpage, jadasa.org. Reach out to me, because we need to get this out. There's a lot of awareness on campus about sexual violence and harassment. But when it comes to, again, interpartner violence, students are unsure of the same resources that can be used, but they can use the same resources, because sexual violence is sexual violence, regardless if you know the person or you don't. So we know that the reports of dating violence and domestic violence and stalking on college campuses are up across the country. Amid this pandemic, reports of domestic and interpartner violence have also increased across the nation. Organizations continue to receive reports every day from students who are experiencing sexual violence and discrimination before schools went remote. Now, this happened before schools went remote. And those who are experiencing harassment even after their university classes went online. Some students complain that their schools are, you know, they're delaying these investigations because they really don't want to try to deal with this. They really don't. We have to do something to make survivors feel safe, because, again, they're not at home with their parents, who may not even know that the assault happened, because they're not probably going to share because they're afraid, or they just don't know what to do. And then some of those, like the first victim we was talking about earlier, who are sheltering in place with their abuser, who was married to them, their husbands, and they're living on campus or whatever, you know, we have to provide a safe place for them. And then some people just don't have the internet access that they can download case documents or file order protections online, because you can file order protections online now. So we got to talk to legislators. We got to talk to, you know, here I am again, but I'm not trying to even make this stuff political, but we still need to talk to legislation to introduce something that's going to strengthen college procedures for responding to reports of sexual harassment and assault, you know. And so we have to do something to help students cope with this, even with the financial repercussions behind it, because they can't deal with it, to help them so they don't drop out of school because of the abuse or because of the sexual violation. Thing about the survivor, the lady whose husband did ran over her. It took her 6 years, though. It took her 6 years to get her degree to go back. Now, remember, when we first talked about it in the beginning, she was only three or four months away from her graduation. But because of that traumatic events, all the stuff she had to deal with, three to four months took 6 years. So she eventually went back. What she says, and she sometimes think about this, she shared with me, what if she had the support then to finish? Where would she be by now? This is 6 years later. She probably would have been well into her field. She probably would have been well into her her career field versus 6 years later. Now she's coming out as an entry level because she had to deal with all this trauma, all this baggage, all this stuff that happened to her, the divorce, because she did divorce him. She had to deal with that. But what if she had had the support then when this happened? So, you know, universities and college campuses, you know, I believe they should reach out to experts. But if you don't know, reach out to somebody. Refer and reach out for information on how to better support your survivors, your students, who these parents have relinquished to you so you can educate them, but give them a safe environment to learn. And I think more money should be dedicated to teaching young people about healthy in unhealthy relationships and educating. Remember, Jonathan is about education, edifying, and encouraging. We are about those three E's in the community, on the college campuses, with students, with teachers, with anybody who is dealing with any form of trauma as it relates to domestic and sexual violence or neglect. And so I just wanted to share that, you know, that colleges are supporting students, but we still need to do more. Colleges are opening back up. People are going back to school. These campuses are opening back up. And so we want to get some measures. We want to get the conversation started. And Ajadasa want to be a part of that conversation, to be at that table, to share, and to provide resources with these colleges that, yes, we are a resource if these students are experiencing these things. You know, we will be happy to support them and to help them go through their procedure to heal, to make sure that they can stay on their education and career path so they don't have to drop out, so they don't be putting their career and their life on hold because a college failed to address something that happened on their watch. So, again, tonight's session was about domestic violence on college campuses. And, you know, if you want to reach out to me, I am at jadasa.org. You can go to our Facebook page, Jadasa. We're on our YouTube channel, Jadasa Live, our web page. Again, reach out. My email is info@jadasa.org. I would be happy to share. And if there's anybody that can provide resources to help us, well, we can start reaching out to these colleges so we can help our students to continue their education. It would be greatly, greatly, greatly supported and appreciated. And so with that being said, I want you to be safe, I want you to be well, and I want you to be whole. Remember, it is Jonathan 24/7, 365, all day, every day. Good night.
glory, God be to you. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, God be to you. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.